This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Established in 1985, the Southeast Asia Rainforest Research Partnership has worked towards the conservation, sustainable management and restoration of rainforests in Malaysia, particularly in Sabah. A recent recipient of the Merdeka Award in the environment category, I find out more about the work that they do from Dr. Glenn Reynolds, who is an ecologist and the director of the Southeast Asia Rainforest Research Partnership. Hello Glenn, how are you today?
I'm very well, Juliet. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for joining us. So, can I get to know you a little bit better, Glenn? How did you first become involved in conservation and how did you end up here in Malaysia?
Well, I mean, ever since I was a small child, I guess I had an interest in plants and forests and trees in particular. But I first visited Sabah back in, 1995.
It's a long time.
A long time ago. To do a brief undergraduate project at Dannon Valley, where our program is now based. And then decided to come back and do a PhD at the end of the 90s, and was then offered the job that I have now in 2000. So, I recognized a good thing
yes.
And stayed put.
Yeah, 20 years, that's a long time. I mean, well, even more than that, the time that you've spent here. But tell me a little bit about, I think you call it SERP, right, me a little bit about SERP. You know, how did it get started? Tell me all about that.
Well, actually, it was initiated in 1985 by the Royal Society, the UK's Academy of Science, and headquartered at the Dannon Valley Field Centre. So Dannon Valley was also initiated in that year. So we've been working in partnership with Dannon Valley, the Sabah Foundation and other local partners involved with the Field Centre since 1985.
Gosh, long time.
Really to sort of support a very broadly based programme of environmental and conservation related science. Mm-hmm. So I've been there since 2000, more or less, to run the program. But it's now a 35 year program in partnership with our friends and colleagues at Dannon.
That's amazing. And you know, for anyone who's unfamiliar with the Dannon Valley in Sabah, you know, can you tell us a little bit about the area and you know why it's so significant?
Well, I mean, it's an astonishing place, and probably, I mean, I'm heavily biased, of course, but it's probably unique in Southeast Asia in terms of its not just of the quality of forest. So it comprises entirely pristine forest, so forest that's never been logged or disturbed by people in any way. But almost uniquely now, it's unhunted, so it's very well protected. It's very well patrolled and monitored by our colleagues in Sabah. So it's one of the last examples of truly pristine forest that not just remains unlogged, but also that has its full complement of all of the sort of iconic species that we know of the forests of Malaysian Borneo. So, you know, things like orangutans, the pygmy elephants, sun bears, clouded leopards, all of these iconic species that are so rare now elsewhere, and in many cases hunted to the point of extinction, mm-hmm. are present at Dannon Valley and at near normal levels of abundance. So it really is an absolute sort of jewel in Malaysia's crown of conservation mm-hmm. Assets, and one that in some respects is not so well known in Semenanjung in Peninsular Malaysia, which is a shame and which is something that we would like to put right. So it's fantastic to have this opportunity to speak to you and particularly to people in West Malaysia who perhaps are not so familiar with Dannon Valley.
Mm-hmm. It's got the big five that can be found there. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Dannon and its surrounding forests, which are in pretty good condition as well, it's probably the most important area for orangutan conservation anywhere. So it's of enormous conservation value. It's hard to overstate the importance of these pristine areas of forest wherever they exist, but particularly Dannan because, as I say, it's been so well protected.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you've been there for about 20 years, right? As you were saying, have you witnessed any sort of major changes in the area, if at all?
Very few, which I think is testament to the job that that SAPA collectively has done in protecting Dannan. And in some respects, that protection has been enhanced. So the SAPA government has now protected all of the forests surrounding and buffering Dannan Valley, mm-hmm. and connected it through with protected forests to the central parts of Sabah. So for those of your listeners who know the area, Malyal Basin, another very important protected area of primary forest, and Imbak Canyon, where Petronas has been supporting work. So these three big pristine forest protected areas are all now fully connected with protected forests. So in some respects, the conservation status, if you like, of the area is now even greater than it was when I first started. When there were real threats to Dannan Valley, those have now been to a large extent removed through the policies of the state government of Sabah and its partners.
That's really promising to hear. And, you know, who are those sorts of different stakeholders that you work with and collaborate with, to get all of these things going?
So Dannan itself and the sort of million hectare forest concession within which it's embedded is managed by the Sabah Foundation, Yayasan Sabah. The Dannan Valley Management Committee comprises a whole array of partner institutions, government and non-government. So key among those will be the Sabah Forestry Department, the local University of Malaysia Sabah, relevant government ministries and so forth. And plays a small part on that committee as well. So it's... It really has been a sort of a collaborative effort to increase the protection of Dannan and also to encourage such a fantastic program of scientific research, where, as I say, hopefully we've played a small part over the years.
I would hardly say small. You know, I've heard a scientist, like I think it was Bill Lawrence, what did he describe you guys as? He said, SERP has catalyzed one of the most important rainforest conservation initiatives on Earth. Coming from Bill Lawrence himself.
High praise. I hope we've made a contribution. I mean, we've over the years, again, and it's very much a partnership with colleagues and friends in Sabah, but we've collectively supported many hundreds of individual research projects. Many young Malaysian scientists have sort of advanced their careers through doing PhD and master's programs at Dannan Valley and as part of our wider program in Sabah. So I think over the years, something like 200 scientists have completed PhD and master's programs through there, through SERP. And about a third of those, so 80-ish Malaysian scientists have completed their postgraduate degrees with us, which is fantastic. And many of our sort of alumni, in a sense, are now sort of occupying key roles within Malaysian government organizations, research institutions, within local universities, conservation NGOs and so forth. So we continue to work with many of the students that did their PhDs and masters with us now collaborate with our scientists from overseas. So it's a fantastic example of international collaboration, but particularly, of course, with the sort of UK links between Malaysia and the UK. And in fact, I think, I mean, outside of sort of defence relationships, this is the longest standing collaboration now between Malaysia and the UK, which is fantastic.
That's wonderful. And I'm speaking today to Dr. Glenn Reynolds. He is an ecologist. He's also the director of the Southeast Asia Rainforest Research Partnership. The organization just received the Merdeka Award in the environment category, and we're finding out a little bit about the work that they do. And coming up after this quick break, we're going to find out specifically some of the projects that they're working on. You're tuned to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today is Dr. Glenn Reynolds. He is an ecologist, and he's also the director of the Southeast Asia Rainforest Research Partnership, or SERP, and they were just recently awarded the Merdeka Award in the environment category, and we're finding out all about the work that they do in conservation and sustainable management and restoration of rainforests here in Malaysia. So, Glenn, you know, you were telling me about the work that you guys do, but what are some of the main projects that SERP has been working on? You know, I know there's something called the SAFE project, for example. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. So the SAFE project was a program that we established in 2010 with an incredibly generous grant from Yayasan Saindarbi, the Saindarbi Foundation, who agreed to support us for a 10-year period, which is unheard of in terms of Saindarbi grants. We were really working in a sort of a funding envelope of a year to 3 years at most. So to have such long-term, stable and generous funding was fantastic. And that allowed us to really sort of build a sort of a research infrastructure around which we could develop a program of really novel and exciting science. But the focus of that program is really on sustainable palm oil production. Mm-hmm. So it's a project that intends to look at the consequences of forest fragmentation. So what happens when you clear forest and plant oil palm plantations, which, as you know, is happening across Southeast Asia, has happened across Southeast Asia. But more importantly, what role small embedded patches of forest play within plantation landscapes in terms of maintaining biodiversity, in terms of maintaining connectivity through these agricultural landscapes. So you might think of these small patches of forest as stepping stones from chains of stepping stones along which species can move through through plantations and to adjacent areas of forest. So we were very keen to understand how these fragmented landscapes function, how areas of forest left along rivers, riparian reserves, might play an important role in maintaining numbers of species and connectivity in oil palm plantations. So it's a long-term project. It's been running now for 10 years. It's supported, again, many hundreds of individual studies. We've published, I think, over 130 journal articles, scientific journal articles from that project. Dozens of students have completed their master's and PhD programs as part of SAFE, including, again, a number of Malaysian early career scientists. So it's been a fantastic project, and hopefully really is now achieving impact in terms of the recommendations that we're able to make to policymakers, so to governments in the state and federal government in Malaysia, as well as the oil palm industry, in terms of how the sort of economic benefits of oil palm plantations can be secured while minimizing the environmental footprint.
Oh, that great big, that's the greatest problem, isn't it? How can we balance everybody's interests and, preserve the rainforest as well?
Absolutely. And it is a balancing act. And, you know, it's a challenge that Malaysia has been wrestling with for many years, and indeed governments across the tropics. You know, how do you balance the crucial need to maintain biodiversity, to mitigate climate change, and all the things that we associate with forests while producing food, basically. But, you know, Malaysia's not doing too badly, really. 50%, more or less, under forest cover is impressive by international standards, particularly in Sabah. Something like 30% of, there are targets to protect 30% of of the land area of Sabah under forest cover. So it's, you know, that there are some impressive commitments in place.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, just while we're on the topic of palm oil and oil palm, right? I mean, there is, of course, a lot of contention on that topic, right? Especially that, if such a thing as sustainable oil palm can actually exist, right? Maybe you'd like to, you know, give your opinions on that. You know, can what would sustainable palm oil look like? You know, can it be done? And, you know, what can we do to address all the problems that surround this issue?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no question that, you know, if you replace highly complex, highly diverse natural forest with essentially an agricultural monocrop
which is,
oil palms are, then there are going to be environmental impacts. That's very clear. But, you know, as you said earlier, Juliet, it's sort of finding that balance. And I hope and believe that the work that we and many others are doing are helping to achieve that balance, as I say, allowing the economic benefits while minimizing and mitigating the environmental impacts. So, I mean, in terms of what sustainability looks like, it's a general truism that if you maintain complexity in an environment, in a habitat, then you allow more species to persist. So a lot of what we're doing is looking at how that complexity can be maintained in these landscapes. So, you know, by retaining patches of forest, by retaining riparian reserves, by managing plantations in a different way to what used to be the case way back when. And you know, I think it is reasonable to say that at a landscape level, so taken in entirety, oil palm plantations with their complement of forest patches and riverside forests and steeper slopes that are maintained under forest cover, I think we are able to say that a reasonable level of biodiversity is being maintained, and that these better managed plantations are much less hostile to the movement of species through them. And of course, there are an array of other measures that can be taken, which again we've looked at as part of the SAFE project and other parts of our program, which are focused on minimizing impacts on soils, particularly in terms of erosion, on greenhouse gas emissions. So I think, you know, we're hopefully, with our partners, providing an evidence base for sustainability.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, are you getting that buy-in from, you know, all the different stakeholders? You know, I mean, is everyone really, you know, working in a concerted effort to make this a reality, you know, to find a solution that is, I guess, that everybody can benefit from?
Well, I would hope so. You know, in my experience, there are not many agricultural companies, plantation companies that want to do a bad job of managing the environment. Yeah. You know, it makes no sense. It certainly doesn't make sense in terms of business. You know, most of the big plantation companies with whom we work are committed to sustainability, to improving levels of biodiversity on their estates. And, you know, many of the major Malaysian plantation companies are signatories to the Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil, an industry grouping that's aiming to improve sustainability in palm oil production, to the equivalent Malaysian Sustainable Palm Oil Standard, which, I mean, it's now a requirement that all palm oil production in Malaysia is signed up to these standards. So, you know, I think there are, you know, encouraging commitments in place. I mean, you know, I would say that there's still a really crucial role for science in sort of putting some flesh around these sort of bones, if you like.
Yeah.
You know, commitments are fine and good, but you know, one really needs then to put those commitments into action, and that's where hopefully the sort of science that we're doing can play a role and help plantation companies achieve sustainability and improve biodiversity levels.
Yeah, I remember reading another interview that you did where you said that, you know, what we desperately need in conservation are examples of success, right? Maybe you want to elaborate on that point for us. You know, what did you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, so often, you know, one hears from sort of scientists with, coming up with an array of recommendations as to how plantations can be better managed or how forests can be better conserved or restored or whatever it might be. But I think, what we desperately need is to make those links happen. So, what we aim to do with our program is sort of place ourselves firmly at the interface between science, policy making, and best practice. And I think now, particularly in Sabah where we work, there are examples of best practice in terms of forest conservation, in terms of sustainable agriculture, in terms of forest restoration, mm-hmm. And also sort of some of the novel financing mechanisms that are now in the pipeline to support conservation and restoration in particular. So there are now a growing sort of suite of projects, of company initiatives that are, I think, now sort of operating in that sort of science-led, evidence-based way, which is very exciting.
Mm-hmm. And that is something that you all are working hard towards. And you do a lot of other projects as well. I know there's something called the Sabah Biodiversity Experiment. That's also in collaboration with other researchers and organizations. Can you tell me a little bit about what that's about?
Sure. So we established the Sabah Biodiversity Experiment in 2001. And really, it's a large scale forest restoration experiment. So we wanted to better understand how forest that has been degraded by logging how its sort of structure and quality and capacity to support biodiversity and perhaps even more importantly sequester carbon from the atmosphere could be improved and enhanced. So it's involved over the years planting now I think close to 250,000 seedlings of rainforest trees in a 500 hectare area close to Danam Valley. What we've been able to do as part of that experiment is show that show how important the diversity of the planting of forest trees is. So, the higher the diversity of forest tree species are planted, the better the diversity in associated species, the more carbon is sequestered from the atmosphere and so forth. So again, it's a project that is really looking to provide evidence for organizations across Malaysia who are interested in restoring forests. How do you best do that?
Mm-hmm. And it's been going on for about 19 years now. 2001, you said, right? How would you rate its success so far?
Yeah, these things are always a bit of a slow burn.
Yeah. Yes.
If you're doing an experiment that sort of relies on planting rainforest trees,
no less.
They go pretty slowly, so it's a slow burn. But the findings are coming through. I think we're now in a pretty strong position to make fairly solid recommendations around the sort of practice of forest restoration in terms of the work that's been done as part of the biodiversity experiment. We're in a position now, and in fact, we already are making fairly solid recommendations around the management and development of oil palm plantations, based on the work that we've done at SAFE and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. We're in another project, we're working with the state government of Sabah to identify new areas for protection, which again is based on really solid scientific evidence. So we are, I think, now really sort of in a position to put the science into practice, if you like.
Mm-hmm. And that's really important, isn't it? Because like you said, nobody wants to be a villain. Nobody wants to be a bad guy, right? But I imagine that everybody is just talking and not listening to each other. So maybe that's the kind of role that you play to bring in the evidence, the scientific evidence, and just get everybody together and kind of try and get everyone on the same page, I suppose.
Well, yes. And we do it in a very sort of independent, non-partisan, non-aligned way, mm-hmm. so to speak. As a program, we are strictly independent. We don't campaign. We're sort of often badged as a conservation organization, but you know, in a sense, we're really not. What I see our role as being, as I say, is providing the evidence base, giving sort of clear, I hope, information on what the consequences of a certain policy decision might be, for good or ill, and then it's down to policymakers, plantation companies, forestry companies, to take that information and run with it or not. But we, as I say, we don't campaign, we don't necessarily advocate, strictly speaking, for one course of action against another. Mm-hmm. Really, we try and focus on providing robust, independent science.
Mm-hmm. Best solutions, I suppose.
Yeah, solutions. That's the word. Yeah, solutions.
And how about this? The public. You know, do you try to engage with them at all in the work that you do? Like folks like me, for example.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and it's something that we're. An aspect of our work that we're very keen to build on in the future. I mean, I think if there's been a weakness of our program, it's in terms of outreach, capacity building, training. So, you know, over the next 10 years or more, we're very keen to build on the sort of scientific successes and program that we've had and really try and sort of take that and use it to inform a training capacity and outreach building program. So we're already doing some work in that field, but it's certainly something that we want to do much more of.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but you know, you were recently awarded the Merdeka Award under the environment category, and I mean, that's, I think, you know, made a lot of people know about the work that you do. But tell me what an award like this, you know, how that helps in, you know, all the work that you are doing.
Well, I mean, it's a fantastic recognition for us, and I mean, I'm both greatly honoured on behalf of the organisation and. Flattered and humbled and all the rest of it, but it's I think we're only the second organization to be honored in this way, the first being Malay Nature Society, I think. So we're in sort of fairly exalted company in that regard. So it's fantastic recognition, and particularly for our staff. Many of our Sabahan staff have been with the organization now for longer than me. I mean, we have, you know, half a dozen of our sort of now management staff who've been with us for over 20 years. And it's, you know, it's fantastic recognition for all of their hard work over many, many years to receive this award. So we're all sort of hugely honoured. I mean, especially this year when things have been so tough, it's great to get something like this. It's a super end to an otherwise fairly miserable year.
Unfortunately, yeah.
But, you know, you're right. It does sort of provide us a bit of a platform, I think, to advance our sort of outreach and training program, which as I say, is something that we're very keen to do, particularly in West Malaysia. So I think we're fairly well known in Sabah, but much less so on your side of the pond. So it would be, you know, hopefully this is going to put rocket boosters under our training and outreach work.
And I guess, you know, what would you like? What sort of interactions would you like with the public? You know, I mean, how do you hope to actually, I know your work, it's a work in progress, but, you know, when you imagine it, how would you like the public to get involved in the work that you guys are doing?
Well, I mean, we're especially keen to work with schools. So we're very keen to do that. And in fact, we've just entered into a funding partnership with the Haji Zainuddin Foundation of Malaysia to support a program to develop an environmental education initiative with schools in Sabah, focusing on rural schools in particular, wonderful, which we're very excited about. And we're keen to replicate that work elsewhere in Malaysia. So much of our focus, our sort of early focus for environmental education work, will be in Sabah, but we're really keen to expand that into West Malaysia and potentially Sarawak as well. So across Malaysia. Yeah. I mean, there are organisations doing fantastic work already in this space. So, you know, we don't want to reinvent the wheel, but rather perhaps sort of enter into partnerships where the science that we're doing and that we're sort of sitting on can be translated into a form that that other organisations would find useful. So we're also working quite closely these days with the Habitat Foundation in Penang.
In Penang, yes.
Some of your listeners may be familiar with. So that's a partnership that we're very excited about. They do great work already in terms of training, outreach, and capacity building. So, you know, by partnering with the Habitat and bringing our science from Sabah to bear, we should be able to do some excellent work together, I think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, I mean, there are a lot of people working on it, but there's so much ground to cover. There's so much work to do. You know, it's great that everyone's trying to come together to do this, because getting them young, I really think that's the most important thing at this point, especially.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, and sort of getting some novel and really current science in there as well. And, you know, I mean, you know, we've I think scientists that have been working as part of our program have now published well over 700 journal articles.
Wow.
So, you know, getting that body of science into an environmental education program in an accessible way, I think is really important. And as scientists, I think we almost have a duty to make sure that the work that is done is sort of accessible and available. You know, and so often that's not the case. I mean, with most PhD theses, you know, you're lucky if three people read them. You know, your supervisor, your examiner, and perhaps your mum.
Maybe a media practitioner.
That's right.
If you're lucky.
So it's really important that the findings from all of these studies from the published literature it gets into a form that can inform education programs.
Yeah, that's easily digestible as well, right? I mean, it's written with, I suppose, a lot of the times with the public in mind. So how do we get them involved as well, right? And education, of course, that's the bottom line, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, you did mention, of course, that your plans moving forward is a lot more outreach. But I mean, what other plans do you guys have? You know, what's in store come 2021 and onwards?
So we're really excited to be working with the Sabah government in its commitment to increase the extent of protected forests in Sabah up to 30% of land area. So we've been doing a lot of work with a bunch of our scientists to identify which are the most important areas to protect. So that's now sort of reaching the stage where we're with our partners at the Sabah Forestry Department, where they're actually looking at which areas to protect. So that's very exciting. We started a new project in Peninsular Malaysia in the Central Forest Spine, looking at some of the important ecosystem services that are being supported within some of the key linkages within the CFS, the Central Forest Spine. So that's really exciting, and it's great that we're involved in Peninsular Malaysia in a sort of fairly major way for the first time, certainly we would like to do more work in Semenanjung. We're also looking at sort of novel mechanisms for protecting forests. The IUCN recently launched a new category of protected areas. There's some interest in implementing in Malaysia, and we're keen to look at how some of these, you know, in some cases quite small but nevertheless very important areas can be better protected. So again, sort of translating some of the science that we've done around conservation and sustainable management into very clear actions on the ground.
Okay, so lots of work ahead of you then.
yeah.
And you've got a good, great work. I mean, exciting work ahead of you. And I forgot to ask you something about your team. You know, you do have a huge team, as you mentioned. Tell me a little bit about them.
Yeah, so it's a slightly sort of diminished team at the moment, given the current sort of COVID situation, and much of our field work is suspended right now. But we generally support a team of research assistants, which numbers about 60.
That's huge.
It's a big team. So about half of those based at Dannon Valley and half on other projects that we support across Sabah. So as I said earlier, Juliet, many of our staff have been with us for decades now. Which is fantastic. Most of our team come from villages and communities from the sort of eastern side of Sabah around Dannon Valley. Mm-hmm. Most of them haven't had a sort of certainly a university level education, but have got fantastic field experience. And, you know, we've supported training programs for our staff over the years, and I think, you know, it's without wishing to toot our own horn, but the team of research assistants that we have in place is now, you know, the most highly skilled and experienced team of RA's research assistants anywhere in Malaysia, probably. So it's a fantastic resource for scientists to plug into. You know, you imagine a sort of a PhD student turning up from the UK who may never have been in a tropical situation before. It makes the science so much easier if you can plug into a team of people that has such a high level of expertise and experience. In fact, you know, often you're left wondering who should be awarded the PhD at the end of the study, whether our team or the scientists. But they're a fantastic team.
That's wonderful. And I know it sounds really exciting, everything that you're working towards. And I guess, you know, if anyone would like to get in touch or, you know, to collaborate or, you know, anything, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, by all means. So all of our contact information is on our website. So www.serp.org. That's SEARRP.org. So by all means, get in touch. And as I say, we're especially keen to do more work around environmental education and capacity building. So we have members of our team who are dedicated to that. We'd be delighted to work with organizations across Malaysia who feel that we may have something to contribute in that respect.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for joining me today, Glenn. And congratulations again on winning the Merdeka Award for the environment category.
Thank you. And I should also thank the Merdeka Award trustees and secretariat for, initially for nominating and ultimately in awarding us the environment the environment award. It's such a huge honor for us. So thank you. Thank you to all concerned. Yeah.
And, you know, we definitely, you know, here on our show, we hope to hear from you more. You know, we hope to hear more about the projects that you're doing.
A great privilege and pleasure. So anytime.
Yeah, definitely. So I've been speaking today to Dr. Glenn Reynolds, who he's an ecologist. He's also the director of the Southeast Asia Rainforest Research Partnership, or SERP. And he was telling me more about the work that he does, that the organization does. And of course, SERP was just awarded the Merdeka Award in the environment category. If you'd like to find out more about that, you can head to merdekaaward.my. And as Glenn said, if you'd like to find out more about the work that SERP does, just head to SEARRP.org. If you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can always search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. You can also find us on Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.